Oh, gracious God, we lift these gifts before you and release them into your service. We ask that those who will be making decisions with this energy, all the stored financial energy, would be given your wisdom so that together we can be clear about our mission, know what you have asked and called us to do, and invest in doing that together. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we get to the part of the service that you may, I hope that you're excited and anticipating, and that's when I get to introduce a guest speaker. I met Reverend Alicia when she came and asked if she could, nest a new faith community in our space. So she's working on a wonderful idea for planting a church called the Community of Grace, and I'm sure she'd enjoy talking with you about it after the service. But in the process of those conversations, we found that there was a little bit of a kindred spirit happening between us, and I asked Reverend Alicia if she would be willing to work on a collaborative sermon with me. And so I just want to welcome Reverend Alicia Dixon-Garrard to our service. And so can you join me in giving her a warm welcome? So if you head up there, I'll come and
oh, this is a lot more intimidating with you guys actually here.
Right, when there's actually people in the place?
Yes.
Now, can you all hear okay with these microphones? Is that the sound good? Okay. So the series we've been working on is, of course, the Campfire series. Mm-hmm. And it's about questions that we might raise when you're kind of relaxed around a campfire and sparks are flying and it all gets deep and meaningful. and so I invited all of you to bring questions that you might ask in a space like that. And as I talked to the Barnes family about it, Henry popped out this one. What does God look like? And it really hooked in with a question that Teresa asked, was basically, do the creation stories still have meaning for us? And so we're going to wrestle with some questions related to that. I have some questions for Reverend Alicia, and I think she has some questions for me as well. Let's start out with Henry's question. I hope you're watching, Henry, because I'm going to ask Pastor Alicia this question. Does God look like us, or do we look like God?
Yes and no. Yes, we do. You know, when we look at the creation story, starting in Genesis 1:26-27, it talks about God making humankind in God's image and in God's likeness. And so we are made in the likeness of God. We have that image stamped on our soul and within our spirit. And so there's a likeness that we bear, a reflection, if you would, of the Godhead. So when we think of God's creativity to create all God created and the intelligence it took to make our body function the way it functions and beauty and the capacity for feeling and love and compassion. All those things we as humankind also have the capacity for. We reflect that intentionally because God made us intentionally to be like the Godhead in those ways. The one yes and no part is that God has all those characteristics in perfection. You know, sometimes we try to be merciful, but we may fall short. So there are some things that we don't do grace-filled as God does. So everything God does and all of who the Godhead is perfect. So sometimes we have a tendency to project our imperfections onto God because we know we don't get it all right. But that is not the case with God. God does all those things with perfection, and we indeed embody that in the world, which is a really powerful thought. And because we all embody that image, we all have inherent worth. Every human being has inherent worth. So unless you're alien, you are walking around with the image of God in you. You are reflecting God in this world.
I'm glad no one asked about extraterrestrials, because the two of us agreed we're not ready to answer that question this morning.
Not at all.
Well, thank you. And let me just ask, what does it feel like to you to know that there is that part of us that is like God, God's fingerprints are within us?
It's humbling, it's awe-inspiring, and it's very inspirational. When we look at the creation stories and everything that was made, and again, the intelligence and creativity and love and compassion that God had to create that, to say that God is in me, is awe-inspiring and humbling. And it's inspirational in a sense for me, motivating, and maybe I shouldn't say this word, but, you know, it motivates some of my more progressive revolutionary tendencies. Because, you know, if someone is not treating me as an image bearer, that is not God's intention. And therefore, I have every right to say that is not how God has intended for me to be treated. I am a person of worth and value.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. So is it my turn for a question? that inherent worth, that being image bearer, there's some other things in creation that Genesis tells us about how God created everything good in the beginning. And we had a very interesting conversation about the meaning of goodness. Maybe talk a little bit about that.
Oh, did we ever? Well, in the creation story, there are just these repeating moments where God will finish something and say, and God said it was good. One of the interesting things that's come to me as a pastor bearing the gospel of Jesus Christ is that human beings can take that language of goodness and use it in a superficial way that actually turns it upside down. And what I mean by that is, it's funny, it came to me this morning in a yoga pose, because I was about halfway through this thing that should have looked beautiful, except I was all crunched up in the middle. And I was still on one leg, and I still had, but I was shaped like this instead of, you know, expansively spread out into the right space. And I thought, oh, that's just it. That's exactly it. So, for example, a lot of my understanding comes from depth psychology. So in depth psychology, what you've got is you've got a surface level of awareness, which is kind of where a lot of times our ego lives, and then you've got a deeper level of awareness that you can sink to over time if you observe yourself enough and sort of stand back and look at how your personality is functioning in the world. And you can sink into a place where you see your own shadow. But the shadow isn't the end all of this journey. If you embrace the shadow and train your shadow even to the work of loving God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength and loving your neighbor as yourself, you can sink down even farther and realize that there is something below even that. And that gets to this place of the authentic goodness that is stamped on us from the beginning by the fingerprints of God. Mm-hmm. But the problem is that a lot of us, myself included, there's points in my life where I haven't been ready to take that journey, and I've been living up here on the surface level, and I've grabbed hold of this sense of, oh, I'm a good person. Mm. And then I have engaged that in a way that, you know, I structured all my feelings on it, so I had to defend it. Mm-hmm. And I found myself, having to repeat it to myself. I found myself having to build a circle of people who would repeat it to me, because my whole self-image was there in, I'm a good person. And it prevented me from seeing the places where I was doing harm to creation or to other people, because mm-hmm. I couldn't look there because it would disturb my self-image as a good person. Mm-hmm. And so on a deep level, it's absolutely true.
Right.
God stamped us from the beginning as good mm-hmm. and beautiful beings. But on a surface level, it could be like that yoga pose where I had all the things right, but I was crunched into a position that was absolutely not relaxing for my body.
Yeah.
And no one who looked at that would have said, oh, that's the tree pose.
Right, right. No one looking at it would have been able to figure out what pose that should have been, because it didn't look like the way it was supposed to look.
That's exactly it.
Yeah, yeah. And so we kind of get to distinguishing between what we mean as goodness sometimes versus the full biblical meaning of goodness, as talking about having peace and wholeness and being made complete and everything right, and just that harmonious relationship between us and God and us and each other. That really is the goodness that we see in creation, is that sort of goodness, not kind of like this moralistic thing that we kind of get caught up into with our self-image and ego.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it's that sort of goodness that has gotten lost a little bit because of, you know, the presence of sin in the world. But the redemption of Jesus is calling us back to that sort of goodness, in which there's right relationship between us and God and one another and with ourselves.
Yeah.
With ourselves as well. Because yeah. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. If you do not understand what self-love is, then how can you really then love your neighbor?
And if you've ever been in a community that organizes itself around a common enemy, if you've ever been in a moment where the intimacy of the group comes together because there's someone to point all of our negativity at, you'll know what it's like to be caught up in this surface level of, I'm a good person, and the bad ones are over there, or the bad one is over there, right? And so when you sink down through and own, and you grab hold of, when I can grab hold of my own shadow and wrestle with it in the presence of God's love, then there's no longer any need to gather around and to do that thing that human beings so often do of creating a common enemy. It's mm-hmm. it's a really liberating process. And you talk about the words of redemption, and it very much is so for me.
Yes, definitely. Because then we talk about that goodness between, not like over against. It's not supposed to be me versus you. It's supposed to be me and you. And that's how God intended creation to be. You know, humankind, male and female, is together. It's an and. It's not an either or.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think when we get on that surface level, too, is where we can misread this scripture and force it to say things about humankind that we want rather than to allow people to be. So, you know, I think that this scripture liberates us to see male and male. It liberates us to see those who are emerging from one gender into another in, a really warm and welcoming way, because it's all about authenticity. It's all about getting to the deepest truth of who God has created us to be, not living on that surface level of having to prove to the world that we're good. Mm-hmm. Right, so that's a piece of how this scripture just really opens things for me. And I think for Tab as well.
Yeah. And just talking more about that relationship with in between versus over against, I was so pleased. I didn't know that some of the songs today were going to be old spirituals, because they come out of the African-American tradition and the history of people of African descent being enslaved in the Americas and emerging out of that, this hope of liberation, this hope basically to be seen as the humankind that we have been created to be, like our white brothers and sisters. And so that was just so cool to see that. And even in the Lord's Prayer, this particular version, forgiving us of the harm as we are trying to forgive others who may have harmed us, and trying to get back to, through that forgiveness, that place of right relationship, that goodness that creation started with. Yeah, that position of harmony and even right governance, because it's all directed and coming from the Creator who does all things well and in perfection.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think for me personally, one of the most powerful applications of this, so I talked a little bit about this framework of sinking through, the ego identification with I'm a good person to, oh my gosh, I've got a shadow and it's it ain't pretty, to wait a minute, there's something even deeper than that. And the authentic joy, but the most important application of that is me as a white man engaging the fact that I've grown up in a racialized society that has a shadow and has put a shadow into me that is really ugly. And to name that and to, as painful as it may be, embrace and wrestle with that shadow, and then to keep believing that there's something deeper, and that God has actually destined even, as Paul would say, even me for something beautiful. That's good news.
That is good news. That the good news of the gospel, which sometimes I think we solely associate with the New Testament, is there at the very beginning. The Godhead is there at the very beginning.
Yeah.
God the Creator, Jesus the image in which everything is made, the Spirit breathing over creation, shaping and forming everything. The good news is that that sort of blessedness, so to speak, God blesses everything. That sort of blessedness is where we're supposed to be. And therefore, if we are not there, we have God's call to get us back there. And that is good news, that that is still available to us if we are willing to do the soul work. You're kind of talking about doing the soul work required to redeem, to kind of reclaim that goodness out there for us, that harmony, that blessedness, that peace, that wholeness that it has existed from the beginning.
Well, I think that leads right into the next question I was going to ask you. When you think of the various crises on humanity's horizon, what help do you find in the creation stories?
that's the hope that I find, that when we're talking about image, we really are talking about we're God's representatives in the world, and likeness, we're God's reflection in the world. So when things kind of go amiss, and I think we focus a lot on that in a lot of our faith context, we focus on sin, and I'm not making light of sin. Sin is problematic. Sometimes I think we get so focused on that, though, that we forget that there was a before, mm-hmm. and that Jesus came to restore us to the way things are supposed to be. So that's the hope that I get with all the problems we have in the world. You know, some of our prayer requests named it with poverty and eviction and war and that sort of thing. It's kind of, it sounds simple, but what you think about God, your creator, what you think about your maker, how you define God in your life then influences your mentality and it influences your lack of action or your call to action. So that's the hope that I get, that this is a call to action, that this is the way it's supposed to be, it's meant to be the way God wants it to be, and that that creator God is asking us to restore. I mean, we pray that when we say the disciples' prayer, the Lord's prayer, let that which is in heaven come back to earth to embody all that blessedness that once was. So that's how I get hope, is that I have been called and kind of commissioned by God as a Christian, as a disciple, to right what is wrong and to whatever is contrary to that good and creator's intention to speak out against. That's where I get my hope from.
I appreciate that very much.
Anything else you think the creation stories tell us? I think we've said a mouthful, and I only asked one question, if you noticed.
I think I would just add that the nature of the creation stories is that it's a creative act. It's not like the other creation stories that, you know, a lot of times people look at you and they'll say of the Bible, oh, you know, whatever you find in the Bible, it was already there in another culture. And there is a lot of things that are reflective of other cultures, but there is nothing like the creation story in Genesis, because it's not a conflict story. All the Mideast creation myths of that time were conflict stories, like the Enuma Elish, right? The main character kills his mother, and out of the mother's body is formed creation. Mm. So it's formed in a moment of profound violence. Mm-hmm. Not like Genesis, which is just a simple outpouring of creative energy. It's just a, for the joy of making, for the joy of drawing distinctions and seeing what will happen with the beauty of the materials at hand. Mm-hmm. And then to, at each stage, say, oh, this is good. Mm-hmm. Right? That's a really beautiful thing. And
And that's a good thing to note, because I don't think many people know that. And that is what, in part, largely made God's people distinct from the world around them. And we now are the people of God as well. So we are distinct in some ways, in many ways. And that's one of the distinctions. And just looking at Genesis 1, and God is just showing off that creative energy, this almighty God who, I think we feel the transcendence of, like, that hymn, All Creatures of Our God and King, which was so perfect. We feel this powerful God just showing off, you know, God's creativity and love and energy. And then in Genesis 2, we see God getting dirty and becoming more intimate with God's hands in the mud and the clay of the earth, shaping us as humanity with great intention and great care. We get this much more intimate view of God, and then the actual breathing of God's breath into that clay for us to become alive. We are God breathed. Everything else, God just said, let there be, and there was. You know, we were shaped, formed, and breathed into. And that is just creates such that feeling of intimacy and wow of how unique we are as humanity. So I think in Genesis 1 and 2, we see both aspects of God, the transcendence and the immanence, the power and the gentleness of an intimate and loving mother and father drawing close to his creation, so close to actually breathe into our nostrils. That's just amazing.
I'm just going to say amen.
Amen.
And I would invite us to thank Reverend Alicia for joining us today.
Thank you. My pleasure. Thank you, Reverend Wheat, for the invitation.
You bet.
This was my first collaborative sermon. It wasn't so bad, huh?
It was a joy for me. The beauty of a multiplicity of voices, mm-hmm. Meditating on and bringing out the wisdom, it's very rich. And
yes.
I just want to thank you so much for coming today.
Thank you.
And we're going to sing Guide My Feet. And for those of you watching from home, this is a song that should be fairly easy to follow along, even though the words aren't there. So I invite you to sing along with us. Guide my feet while I run this race. Guide my feet while I run this race. Guide my feet while I run this race. 'Cause I don't wanna run this race in vain. Hold my hand while I run this race. Don't want to run this race in vain. Friends, I hope that you have been blessed today. I hope that you have found in this service a blessing from God who has created us and has done so with great love. And I hope that you've found a blessing from Jesus who came down from heaven to walk among us that we might have stories about God's love and be able to touch it. And I hope that you found a blessing from the Holy Spirit who gives us the bridge to really connect with one another. And so take with you the blessing of the Creator and the Christ and the Holy Spirit. And share that blessing as often as you may. Amen. Good work.